Welcome to the Ignited Entrepreneurs Podcast. I'm Jessica Coulthard, your host. And each week I chat with amazing entrepreneurs to share what they've done to ignite their business so that you can ignite yours. Hey, it's Jessica, your host. What if I could tell you why you do everything you do? Would you believe me? Well, I think you should, because I have this incredible assessment that I do for my clients. And for all of my listeners, I'm offering it for free. If you want to send me an email to ignitedentrepreneurs@gmail.com, I will hook you up. I will tell you why you do everything you do. I will tell you what your personal driving force, your North Star, the reason you do everything you do, why you make every decision you make. You're going to look back over your life and you'll be able to connect all sorts of dots that you didn't see before. It will blow your mind, I promise. I've been doing this assessment with my clients for the last 4 years. Wow, you nailed me. And the beautiful part is that it's not just about knowing this. It's about I actually will show you how to use it. I will show you how to use it to fix relationships. I'm also going to show you how to get rid of bad habits. We're going to dial this in so easily that this will be a no-brainer. You're going to be like, wow, why didn't I know this before? Why don't they teach this in schools? I'm going to show you how to change any area of your life by stepping back, taking the emotion out, throwing in a little logic, and you're going to be able to brainstorm ideas that you never even saw before. That is the power of this assessment. So send me an email to ignitedentrepreneurs@gmail.com and I'll hook you up. Welcome to another episode of Ignited Entrepreneurs. Today, I have with me Stefan Sherba. He's a blueprint numerologist and healer, and his website is emotionalsoulhealing.com. Stefan, welcome to the show.
Evening, Jessica. Thank you.
I am very interested in the work that you do. It's the remote healing aspect of what you do, I find super intriguing. In fact, it was something that I was looking into a while back. So I'm excited to dive into that. But before we do all of that, I would love for you to tell everybody who you are and what you do.
All right. So good evening. I appreciate this, Jessica. What do I do? I like playing with numbers, and the numbers is everything involving in terms of numerology. I use it to assist others with whatever's been trapped energetically in the body, either as a frequency, vibration, or an energy. It's to release that feeling. And once the feeling's released out of the system, if somebody has, whether it's a physical complaint, if it's something that's trapped energetically in the body, either mentally or emotionally, my gift is to assist people with releasing it subconsciously, and once it's released out of the system, it allows the body to return back to its natural state. I wound up getting fascinated with this many years ago. I used to be a commercial pilot. I used to bartend down in Yaletown. Worked in the oil and gas sector for a number of years. So there was a certain criteria or a certain checklist that I had to go through. And until I got myself sick many, many years ago, where it affected me in the heart, area. And wound up having an experience going from the physical into the etherical realm, then coming back, and I became very aware that there's more to life than what's going on here. So my gift is sharing people that when we're here, we're all spiritual beings, and we're living a temporary human experience. And part of this experience is we're in a language or we're in an ocean of feelings and emotions. And this is something that the soul on the other side simply cannot release until somebody volunteers coming here. And my gift, as I mentioned there, is assisting people with releasing it, clearing it out. And then if they wish to, they can go all out with them and they can attain their soul power towards the end.
Wow. So, okay. So you said that you used to be a commercial pilot and you had some health concerns. Yeah. But Is that how you got interested in this work that you do now?
So what got me into all this, when I left high school many years ago, there's something from the family that, hey, you're going to do something. You're going to be going to the military. working somewhere, doing something specialized. And growing up, it just, things weren't working out the way that I wanted to see things. And it cost me, not that it cost me, but I had an experience which took me 20 years before I got my first job as a flying commercially down in Toronto. When the opportunity came, I was super excited. However, I think with a lot of people, and I'm generalizing here, when somebody attains a business or when somebody attains a certain level of success, they're not really seeing the track record or the years put behind it to see that fruit that comes out of it. And it cost me 20 years wearing coveralls, working long hours. When I had worked in the oil and gas sector, the norm, we would be up for 1, 2, or 3 days straight. And it was just considered part of the job. And eventually I found out that the body can handle so much until there's like a threshold. And I remember I had one stint, we were up for 4 days, and it became very apparent that we were in the industry that people were starting to leave here or attending the funerals and such. And I had some other experiences where the body can handle so much, or the person can handle so much. And I wound up having an experience where, from all the years of it, involved feelings of anger, resentment, frustration, and honestly, deep down inside, I wasn't happy. And most people on the outside, society may define things as a person can be successful if they have a six-figure job, if they've gone to school, if they've gone to college, if they've gone to university, if they have the home, if they have the whatever it is in society that dictates somebody being very, 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 very successful. And I kept striving towards it for many years. And the harder I worked towards it, or the more that I strived towards it, the deeper down the hole I got into. And when I'm referring to going down and down deeper in the hole, I'm talking about this energetically. And it became very apparent to me that the bottom of the feelings, I'm referring to the emotions of shame, guilt, apathy, fear, and anger. It's like an apartment building. Who cares about living in the penthouse if the foundation deep down inside of it has holes and leaks in it? I got told by my teacher here many years ago, do not build your empire if you have holes and leaks in your foundation. So from my experience, I had a tough time talking about a lot of things. And I wound up internalizing it. And by internalizing it, not saying anything, eventually it had to manifest itself into the physical body. And my experience was I left this physical realm, you want to call it going through that tunnel of light. And this should have happened a few times. And I had one very, very unique experience where I left here, went to the other side, freaked me out. And I came back wondering, why was this not taught in school? Where in all the college years when I was going to school or even at the university for a short while, no one was talking about any of this. And then it became very evident that we are spiritual beings living a temporary human experience. And I wound up getting lucky enough where the universe intervened. Thankfully, it intervened and saying, look, you have a decision here. You can continue doing what you're doing. If you want to pursue, if you want to continue moving up the ranks or moving with oil and gas work, if you want to advance there was an opportunity there being a chief pilot back in Hamilton or in the Toronto area. And it was so tempting. And then the universe said, look, you're going to be doing something else here. And until the rug got pulled from underneath me, I got faced, or I got hammered with a few things right in front of my face where I'm like, I can't hide from it anymore. And what I was hiding from was I had a really, really tough time talking about a lot of things. I had a deep fear of who's going to see me, who's going to hear from me, or you have to have all these different accolades in life in order to be recognized or to be accepted by society. So when I had that experience, it was a couple years later, I met a gentleman here in Vancouver named Joseph P. Gobbi. And from there, it was the first time in my life where I made a decision that I'm going to walk away from the societal norms, everything coming from the family, society, and everything else, And a lot of my friends were thinking, Stefan, you're crazy, man. You're making a, you're having a six-figure job. You're getting paid well. You have a nice sport bike. You're out skydiving once in a while. You have a nice, you have a great part-time gig. And I walked away from it. And I made the decision, I'm going to take a chance on me. And I came down to Vancouver. And we got introduced to an event. I think it was with Dream Healer, Dr. Adam McLeod. And I'm at this event, and I'm seeing people in this room, maybe 250 to maybe 300, 350 people. And they're talking about spiritual guides and orbs. And I'm in there, and I have absolutely no idea what any of these people are doing. And I'm like, where am I? What's going on here?
What parallel universe is this?
So he's looking at me, and he's like, look, Seven, you could be doing the same thing later on, but you need to clean up your mess. So the mess here is that wonderful knapsack that all of us carry, and it's a thing called that emotional knapsack. As I started getting involved with the work, I made a decision. I spent 20 years getting my flight paperwork. It wasn't the actual flight training. It was the ability of, I didn't have the proper mindset or the proper training with manifesting the money. That was the biggest issue and the high expectations from it. When I started doing the healing work, the universe pulled everything from underneath me, saying, you're going to be starting right from the bottom up, literally from the bottom up. And it was tough, man. I mean, it was super tough. And what I found out is the human experience, we are a spiritual being, and we vibrate energy. We cannot override the subconscious programs if they're negative, and if they're coming from childhood. I mean, everyone, doesn't matter if there's somebody, if somebody's pushing a broom, if someone's the CEO, if someone's the president, if someone's gone to school, all of us, I believe, all of us go through a human experience, whether it's grief, say a loss of a loved one, whatever's going on in life, you simply just can't dismiss it. And from what I've noticed from all this is, all of it gets swept underneath the rug. Where does that energy go to? As I got involved with this work here, I found out that in the Akashic Records is like a hallway or a hall where when the soul decides to come here, it asks on the other side of having somebody to volunteer to come here. On the spiritual side, the emotions, the energies cannot be released until somebody comes or splashes into this physical planet called Earth, where the feelings and the emotions are. And then this is where the work can be done to energetically and etherically cut and release all of the cords on the inside. Once this is cleaned up here, the soul has a very clear intention. When it decides to come here, it may come here every, say, every 500,000, or depending if the soul is really old, may come here every 5,000 or 10,000 years. It doesn't want to come here because the vibrations are so low. So as I started learning all this, it became very evident that the bottom needed to get cleared out. So I started off here within Vancouver, and I started hustling, started pounding the pavement, and started off at the Vancouver Club, got a couple other part-time jobs, and eventually got myself into a gig bartending in Yale Town. And from there, the energies there, it reminded me of everything from childhood. And the universe was very, very particular here, stating, you're going to clean up with whatever wasn't resolved with from childhood. What I'm referring to this is, if somebody wants to manifest something, if you have all the subconscious based programming, if it's positive, it's easy. If the leadership's there, the person's thinking positive thoughts, if the person's happy, if a person's joyful, it's easy. If a person's been feeling or they were under a lot of stress, if they were shamed, humiliated, guilt, or guilted into something, if they're feeling a lot of anger, and if it's in the subconscious repeatedly, anything after 21 days, and then someone says, well, just read the book, The Secret, then you can manifest anything you want. Energetically, it's not going to happen. So while I was down in Yale Town bartending, all these soul agreements started coming out. And in my unique situation, I want to be experiencing things in this lifetime at the master number level. And there's small souls, there's big souls, There's the really old souls, and then come the master number souls. So I owe a, technically I owe a tremendous amount of gratitude towards the owner, specifically his brother, because his brother had the same 33-6 type of vibration. And from there, from everyone that I wound up meeting there, it reminded me energetically of the well-chosen parents that my soul wound up choosing when I wound up splashing, or when I wound up coming here. My soul didn't come here to say, you're going to be here for mom and dad. My soul asked, when you're here, can you please do me a favor and release all of the feelings and all of the emotions? And I will show you something that the soul, when the feelings are released, when we come here from the universe, we're already coming here in pristine condition. It's the moment when we come here, the interference is either going to come either from the family, culture, or religion. And when the soul has a divine plan coming from the creator, whatever you want to call him, when we come here, usually between the ages of 5 to 9, there's a deviation somewhere. And that deviation is, from my knowledge, it's intentionally set there to get someone to have an experience, learn from it without being entrapped by it. So as I was doing my inner work here, cleaning up all the emotions on the inside, it became very, very evident that I had to start confronting all of my deeper fears on the inside. The biggest one was the fear of speaking, the fear of being seen, the fear of being recognized. And here I am front and center for just under 2.5 years there. And it was the most mind-blowing experience to this day that I've ever gone through. And it became, the reason why I'm sharing this here, this should be public knowledge, because nowhere throughout my entire career, and as I continue to evolve and expand with it, does anyone really talk about angels, souls, guides, or what's our purpose here, or we have a destiny. And it became very apparent that, forget about the destiny, if whatever's from childhood's not dealt with, we're going to continue dragging that with us until we deal with it. So the restaurant, the experience there gave me the ability to really clean up a good chunk of my mess here. And this involved releasing a lot of the emotions. Now, once the emotions started getting released, then I could feel the subconscious programs that I wound up having, including from my soul and from the other past lifetimes, as I was cleaning up the cords, or cleaning it up energetically and emotionally, things started to awaken inside of me. And then this is where I started tapping into this side, more into the spiritual side. And I started finding out, just like when I was as a commercial pilot, there was certain protocol involved. And from there, I got fascinated with it, and I continued running with it. And while I was there, it became very evident to me that there's really deep. And then I got myself so deep in a hole with it where I'm like, I just step out and I said, I need to really reevaluate here of what I'm doing, what I'm getting myself involved with. And I had the right guidance. I had the right direction, but I had to really reassess with, I'm coming for something really big here. Part of the journey, when I was down there, I wound up having an experience where one of the staff was sent to the hospital. And me being me, I like to test things. And I had asked my spiritual guides on the other side, if this is really the real deal here, I'd like you to show me a sign, please. And I remember going home that evening, and I went home. And in my mind's eye, I'm seeing the one gentleman there, I'm seeing the owner, both flashing my mind's eye. My crown chakra winds up opening up. And there's this divine pillar of light coming in from the top of my crown. And the best way that I can describe it, it's like a white, bluish, light blue, silver light coming in from the top of my crown, down etherically, down my shoulders and out through both of my palms here. And the energy came out for about, I'd say, under 20 seconds. And then here became very crystal clear. Stefan, while you're here, they gave me a test or a teaser of it many years ago. This was almost 7 years ago. This is the type of work that you can be facilitating. And from that experience, when that energy came out of my hands, I remember seeing them at the hospital, I was taken back. Now, who on earth am I going to talk to about this? So, I mean, seriously. So from there, I kept my mouth shut. I didn't say anything. And then I set the intention with, I'm going to work my butt off to make this thing happen until I cross my line. When I'm saying I'm crossing my line here, all of us here, there is a universe, whatever you want to call it. And while we're here, technically on this planet, we're not here for a picnic. And it became very evident to me at a younger age. While we're here, the soul has a very clear intention that, and it's asking, while we're here, can you please, please, please do the soul a favor by releasing all that karmic energy? The experiences from the past, it doesn't matter what it is, none of that can be released. Even if you call the creator and saying, I need some help with this, can you delete it for me? It doesn't work like that.
But that's too bad.
I don't make the rules here. I don't make the rules here, but I became very humbled, very, very humbled when the feeling comes in. It can be really painful. Because the feeling, I mean, I can talk about this, but until a person's in a position, and I'm going to use me as the example here, right? To walk through my own wall of fire, or being in the front seat, being seen, and the ability to handle it and process it and awaken my gifts on the inside, it means some days it freaked the hell out of me. And then from there, I just kept moving. And the best way I can describe it, if a person has a certain amount of consciousness and they're aware of a certain criteria, once they go down the rabbit hole, or they take like the red pill and the consciousness opens or expands, if the person goes back, it's not going to work anymore. Once a person starts seeing that there's a deeper level to something, me being me, I just got hungry with it, saying, well, if the universe is going to show me this much, and if I keep going with it, what else am I going to see? And this is what I've been doing. I mean, that experience, I mentioned, that was done many, many years ago. And while I was there, I wound up meeting a lady down at the Vancouver Club. And from there, to honor my soul agreement, I wound up volunteering my services with this lady. And we connected for about a year. And we just did some recent work here in the last month. And we talked about a few things. And I said, look, if you'd like to clear a few things out emotionally, if you're open to it, I'll volunteer, but I'm going to be asking for a testimonial, please. And then this is where I started to learn with what I was doing. And it was like right off the chart. Like if I had gone to the medical community and done this type of protocol, there's no way it would have ever happened. But I was trusting the guidance that I was getting, trusting my inner compass. And it became very evident that the more I was working on me, we all on the inside, we all have an inner compass. We all have that inner guidance system. And the soul's just asking, while we're here, make the most of it. We have a soul agreement. And that soul agreement here is, when we're here, is to clean everything up so the soul does not have to come back here lifetime after lifetime going through the same nonsense. It's to go back in there, clean up everything from childhood, be connected back with who we are, and then living on purpose. And for part of me, I mean, it was scary, man. I mean, it was super scary. Going, well, I have nothing to lose here. One of my inspirations was listening to my dad, and I mean, he was sharing stories of what happened to his parents and grandparents that were after what happened in Germany. And I'm going, well, if this is really true, and they're watching on the other side, then I better give it my all here and pull through with this. So that's a bit of a background, what got me into all this. And from there, one client, I met somebody else, and I met a couple other people. And then this is how I got the project going.
Amazing. So, okay, you talk about having an inner compass. Yeah. How do you activate that or become aware of it so that you can really tap into it and listen to it? Because that's what I think so many of us are missing, is we have these feelings, we kind of know something, but it's like we just miss it.
Have you ever had the experience where if you're doing something and you do it, and there's that inside feeling or that gut feeling, And you're aware, if the inside feeling says no and you do it anyways. And sometimes we need to step back and we need to pay attention to it.
Okay.
From my own experience, it became very evident that it's been tampered with. And to get back into the essence of who we are, it's to clear out the emotional baggage. Once that's cleared out, then a person starts having some breathing room on the inside. Once they have that breathing room, then they can start sensing, identifying, and relating with who they are. And all of us, we have all of the third eye here. It needs to get cleared out.
So when you started to go down the rabbit hole, as you were saying earlier, did you have a guide? Like, were you working with somebody, or was it just through now searching for the information that you wanted? And
As I mentioned there, I had Joseph here that was helping me through all this. Guiding me through this on an unbelievable level. And through the soul agreements, there's trust, there's blind trust, and then there's a level of trust where you have to cultivate it with the universe. And I trusted on blind faith that all this was going to work. And I wound up testing it, all of it. And one of my guides, one of my spiritual guides, was my doorkeeper, my guardian angel, Matt. And all information wound up coming through this guide. And this is where I mentioned earlier, was like having a checklist. There was certain protocol involved. We're all living here in this physical world. There's good people. I'm going to call them bad people or evil people. The same thing's on the spiritual side. So when the information is coming through, a person has to learn how to discern from it. The ability of figuring out very quickly, just because somebody says, well, it's spiritual, doesn't mean it's all roses. I can assure you that right now. Anyone that authentically does the deep work on the inside, from my own experience, I'm speaking of me, it brought out the worst nightmare ever possible. And it had to come out in order for me to awaken, in order for me to awaken who I am. Wow. And this is, I think, for a lot of us, it's hiding behind one mask and hiding behind another mask, behind another mask. We're wondering why some people get so angry, or why some people are so upset, or wondering why are people so sad? Why are people so smiling on the outside, but deep down inside, they're hiding secrets, or they're hiding something, and they're not able to talk about it. They don't want to say anything about it. And I mean, it's no joke. I mean, if you go to the graveyard, most people, they came here, they lived their life, and then they checked out, the body stays here. And theoretically, they leave, go back to the other side, and most of them, they're all coming right back here again, recycling over and over again, lifetime after lifetime, going through the same crap.
Simply because they're not able to release it, so...
That's it.
Yeah. Wow. You know, it's amazing to me. I went through an experience a couple years ago when I was doing some training, and I'm a keener, so I volunteer whenever somebody wants a volunteer for something. And so I was the volunteer for this particular exercise, and the deeper that we went with it, all of a sudden the overwhelming emotion just came up out of nowhere. I don't think I've never cried like that. I've never been so out of control of my emotions before. And luckily the exercise that we were doing, or the teacher, was able to very quickly move into another technique and was able to help me clear that out. But, you know, for anybody listening, one of the things, you know, I didn't know that was there, right? I mean, I think we go through life just kind of like you say, we have these masks that we wear and we just call that normal. And there's this uncomfortable feelings or this anger or this, you know, those negative feelings that we just consider normal and don't realize that it's really affecting us at such a deep level.
And the reason why I'm talking of it is I found this out the hard way. I wound up pushing through the doors at such a level where eventually the body gave out, the heart chakra gave out, and I wound up experiencing things physically on the inside where I'm like, if I don't deal with this, if I really do not deal with this, I knew if I continued flying, I knew by the time I was 50 or 55, I knew I was going to have a stroke or a heart attack. So I was just smart enough when the universe stepped in, when I had that intervention, I was smart enough and I paid attention to it. And I've been, and since then, I've just garnered and earned a tremendous amount of trust with the universe doing this.
Yeah, what an amazing place to get to is to have that trust, knowing that you can listen and feel what you're feeling, and then it will guide you where you're supposed to go.
Yeah.
Beautiful. So now tell me about the work that you do. So now how have you taken your own learnings, and your own study, and now how do you work with people to help them go through that same discovery journey?
That's everything that Jessica, that I do with, I initially start off with somebody's date of birth and the name that they're using for today. And the reason why I'm doing that, the moment I have that type of information, then I can start putting it out in the form of a blueprint. This blueprint identifies to me very, very quickly. And again, it ties in with the Akashic records, with the universe. When a person, let's say, like for myself, born in April, so the April is dealing with the fourth month, which is the root chakra, and it's also dealing with my physical world, my physical reality, is being neat, organized, disciplined. On the negative side, it's being scattered. Loneliness can be a big one. Jealousy, envious. So it's to give somebody a basic assessment of this is what you're coming for here in this lifetime. Dealing with this type of learning, growth, and emotions to deal with from childhood. Once that's identified, then I'm using a system that I learned from the doctors down in the US, motor.com, or the best technique. And from there, either by having them in front of me, I can release it on the table, or theoretically, or doing the remote healing with my guides, we go in there and we clear out, or we identify the feeling and the emotion. And we go into it subconsciously. We release the feeling and the energy. There's homework involved with it for the client or for whoever I'm working with. It's not like where you can just ask somebody saying, hey, put your hands over me and heal me. It works, but if the subconscious mind, if it's not reprogrammed, or if the person does not get involved with it, they're going to get the temporary results out of it, but it's not going to be there for the long haul. So it's back with the chart. There are sessions to release specific feelings and emotions, whether it's chronic, whatever it is, something physically in the body, mental programs, limiting belief systems, or if somebody has a deeper yearning to go the bigger distance, then we do the guided meditations. And I want to add to this, we're now in a 5D consciousness since 2012, and humanity's been stuck in this type of an energy in this 3D world for 300,000 years, and nothing's been moving since 2012. And we're now in this feminine female energy. It's way easier now to go inside and clean up the mess, whatever it is. And we can now go in there, we can cut the cords. These are the etherical cords. So when you think of somebody from up here in your mind's eye, wherever that's going to, there's a cord. Now, the biggest cords are coming from the experiences from mom and dad. So if somebody wants to do the intermediate or an introduction to it, or if they want to go all out, connecting back with their inner child, getting acquainted with their spiritual guides, I can take them to go the big distance with them then attaining their soul power if the person is willing to put that 100% commitment in. And my gift is assisting someone from start to finish throughout the entire process. Doesn't matter if it's a small soul. And my specialty is assisting people with, if they have the heavy mass numbers, like the 11-2, the 22-4, the 33-6 type soul vibrations. These haven't been awakened in a long time.
What does that, I don't know anything about that. Can you explain what that is?
Yeah, so when a person has a feeling or an experience, if we use it on a chart basis here, if somebody's having a great day or a good day, they're going to rise up, let's say maybe they're going to rise up maybe 10 feet, or they're going to go down 10 feet. As an example, if somebody's coming here with an 11 vibration, it's telling me right away, that if they're going to go down, they're going to go down 100% deeper than everybody else. And when they're going down 100% deeper than everybody else, nobody has a clue where this person's going at. Nobody has a clue where this person is. So what got me fascinated with this type of work is, if I'm seeing a practitioner, or if I'm seeing someone that's doing this type of work here, if the practitioner is able to see a certain amount or a certain depth, but the person that's there that's doing the work, if they're 200 or 300 or sometimes 400% deeper than them, it's not going to work energetically. So someone's able to see a small window of what this person can handle, where myself now, I have the ability of going super deep. Mm. And this is the cruncher of it. And it's the ability, not just on the physical level, but being able to do this energetically and then releasing it at the deeper levels.
Wow, amazing. So does resistance come into this? Like if you're working with somebody? Yeah, okay.
Oh, big time. I'm speaking from my own experience. Man, I had a huge fear. Who's going to listen to this? I had to let go of that resistance. And the resistance can come in many forms here, whether it's guilt, not saying anything, holding on to something, resisting, not willing to change, or being stuck inside that paradigm, that prison, that mental mindset. I'm looking at it from this perspective. The parents, when they come here, the last generation of master members, when they physically came here, probably 99.9% didn't make it. Mm-hmm. They came here because they were stuck right from childhood with all that programming or from that emotional experience. And then that entire generation they came here, they lived their life, they left, and the soul's like, well, that mission was unsuccessful. And the soul has to have somebody else come in, or the same person comes back here in another lifetime to see if they can get themselves out of the loop.
Yeah, I was reading a book not that long ago, because a really good friend of mine and I have been doing a bit of studying, not to the same level that you have, but just starting to scratch the surface. And I can't remember who wrote the book, but it was a really interesting sort of analogy that, you know, the soul, it's like there's a bunch of souls and they meet at a bus stop and they start to talk about what it is that they need to go back and learn. And then that's where they end up going back. So like you said, you're born in April. So depending on what that soul needs to release, does the date of birth, like, is that why the numerology comes into this?
That's exactly what's coming in from. That's where all it's coming in from. The universe has to have some sort of structure, some sort of content, or some form of organizing it. And became very evident to me when I was going through the chart here, whoever came up with this thing, somebody was really gifted and really dialed in with this. That chart is literally a blueprint for a person's entire life. And most of 50% of it's coming from their date of birth. And then the other part that can be changed, or where a person can self-sabotage it, if they're born with one name and then later on they decide to have a nickname, or mom and dad call them something else, or they change their name, or for the women out there, if they get married and they want to take it on the partner's name, then this is where they start complicating their life. If they're not able to handle clearly one set of instructions or one set of blueprints or a set of blueprints, and then all of a sudden they start tampering with their name. Now, I'm not talking in the essence of making the fortune, making the money, fast tracking it. I'm talking about having the stability, being able to communicate it, being able to step in their power, being able to assert their boundaries, having their confidence, having their stability, having their freedom, having their own inner balance. And it has to be from the ground up. I'm not talking about the superficial level. It's from the bottom up.
And so does that mean that if somebody did change their name, that it could actually change them on an energetic vibrational level?
Definitely, yes.
So do you find that, you know, if somebody is struggling, that they opt to change their name and that actually does help? Or like, okay, so for myself, like I did take my husband's name mm-hmm. when I got married, but even after divorce, because my son was so young when we split, I actually kept my married name. I'm curious how that could be affecting me.
So that is an excellent question. And as an answer, the answer that comes to me right away is, when you're born with your initial name, it's coming either from the soul or from mom and dad. So you have that energy for X amount of years. So you have that type of an energy or vibration that's locked subconsciously. The moment comes when you get married, then the subconscious starts recording the new energy from the moment when you're married until the whatever the termination date is. So now you have two operating systems using two different vibrations that turn into two different programs. Now, did you keep the name or did you go back to your birth name?
No, I've kept the name.
So you've kept the name. So the name itself, it depends if you've been running with this name, say, for the last 10 or 20 years, as an example.
I have exactly 20 years.
20 years. So then this would be, say, if I met with you or somebody else like that, I would start off with this name initially, saying if a person wants to do the type of the inner work with releasing whatever the energy is, once that's released, and more important from their destiny, their date of birth, once that energy is released and a person's able to see things with a clear set of eyes, coming back to their original consciousness of who they are prior to coming in here, once they have that awareness and it's being connected back with their divine self, their spiritual self, once they have this connection, then they can start making their own decision. Do they wish to keep somebody else's vibration, or do they want to self-empower themselves by taking back their own name? Because if a person changes their name, they may start missing a vibration. So let's say if the husband has an 8 vibration, and the 8 there is telling that the husband is, say, as an example, if they're making the money, but if you're taking the name, or if somebody else takes the name and they're missing the 8, then they wind up self-sabotaging themselves, and they're not able to manifest the money that they'd like to be doing. Or manifesting, as an example. And there's many different karmic numbers like this.
Oh, I'm going to have to get you to do my numbers.
So, I mean, it's fairly fascinating. And I've been doing this now for almost 9 years, and I feel like I've got a really good stronghold on it. And equally, there's so much more to learn from this.
That's the beauty, right? Is the more that you learn about it, then the more you can really explore and be even more curious about it, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I would have to admit to this, a person's got to be hungry doing this.
Yeah.
It's not like you can be partially interested and go in and you step back out again. Because when you're putting something, I just want to emphasize, if somebody's really praying for, if they're in a situation, they have to show the universe that they're willing to change.
Mm.
Yeah.
I like that. Awesome. Well, I think also you can't really unknow something once you know it, right? So, I mean,
that's it.
Yeah. So, I mean, once you start to see the power of the knowledge, I would imagine that it actually would it would pull you. Like, I would just be even that much more curious. The more that I would learn and be exposed to, the more I'd want to learn and be exposed to, right?
Yeah.
Very cool. So so you did touch slightly on it when you were explaining, but you also do remote healing. Can you share a little bit about that? Because I'd love to share a quick little story. You and I were supposed to do this interview last week, I think, and I ended up canceling because I had a headache, and you reached out and offered to help me with that. And in the moment, it wasn't something that I was open to. I wish now that I had.
So this is going to be coming from me. It's not coming from a textbook. It's not coming from, well, they said this, they said that, we think it's this, we think it's that, but there's a lot of, I want to call it a lot of gray areas with it. When I got introduced to it initially, I could feel that there's an energy that was coming in. If you want to, it's like holding on onto it like a 9-volt battery or a stronger type battery. You can feel the energy. We are a spiritual being and the body works energetically. if you have a like the heart, it has the as on the monitor there with the ECG system. Or when I was there, circadian body rhythm, or when I was as a pilot, we need to have certain things monitored or checked out. I'm the guy that's facilitating the healing, but I'm not doing it. I'm hosting it, but where I'm getting it from is coming from my spiritual guides. And it's also coming in from my soul. So the soul, most people on this planet, I want to say it openly here, are without a soul. So the first thing, yeah. So
we're going to have to come back to that.
let's leave that to the side there.
Okay.
So the healing comes from the soul, or from not from the full soul, because the soul is so massive or big in size here. In this lifetime, the soul's given me a slice of it, you want to call it the higher self. And this is the energy where I'm tapping into from source. It comes through the top of my crown, and then from there it comes out through my hands. The universe is a thing called white light. So white light can be used to etherically fill someone in with love, warmth, and kindness. And it's a form of etherical protection from the inside out. The soul, along with, for myself here, I work with a team of guys, spiritual guides, they are the ones that are facilitating the work. So they are the ones that are entrusted with this type of work here. And I want to learning or building this rapport with them for the last number of years. And it became very evident to me that all of us, while we're here, when we volunteer coming here, we all have, you want to call it five main guides. All of us have, you want to call it a guardian angel, a master guide, a healer guide. Then we have a philosopher and joy guide as well. So the healing work, if I ask, somebody says, Stefan, I'd like to have some healing work done. The first thing I'm going to need is their date of birth and their name. This way, I have a clear ability with from me, the universe, and with my guides of who I need to send the energy to. And the moment when I have that, then from there, it's facilitated remotely. It's not me doing the healing work. Yes, it is coming through me, but it's my soul, my guides that are doing the work. And with a tremendous amount of blind trust that I've earned this with the universe doing what I'm doing.
Wow. Yeah, that's really amazing. So is this similar to channeling? Like, do you channel as well? Or is this the way that you channel? No.
Personally, I don't. I do a number of different things. Just for the time being, publicly, it's strictly the healing work. Healing work only. Okay. And I want to make sure I have a good hold on this. It's like anything the universe will give me, or it will give anyone whatever they can physically handle. They're not going to overload somebody with it. Otherwise, it's not going to serve them well. This has been my experience.
Okay. Can we go back to the statement that you made about not everybody has a soul?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. That's probably a touchy subject there, isn't it?
No, I'm curious. I am one of those people that shows up curious to everything.
Yeah. So when I got involved with this, I mean, I was fascinated already at a younger age, wondering, what is it going to take for me to break out of the mold or the system that I'm in? And when I got hungry with this, I started going deeper and deeper. When we're coming here from the universe, first of all, on the other side, the soul puts up a contract and the soul says, who wants to come here to live a thing called the human experience? And remember, on the spiritual side, they have no comprehension or no understanding of what emotions and feelings are. That's the first thing. So when we splash here, this is when that energy comes in. The soul's asking, you're going to have a specific mom, specific dad, a certain type of race, a certain type of culture and experience. Who wants to volunteer for this? So it's not like we just land here or mom and dad are busy in the bedroom. There's things well beyond this that's well orchestrated by the universe. So when we volunteer, then we acknowledge it. We go through a state of amnesia. And the moment when we splash in here, if the lady, or for the pregnant mom, when she's birthing the child is still attached energetically to the mom through the umbilical cord. the moment when that umbilical cord is cut, the soul's already in the operating room, or if the child's birthed at home, the soul's already there. Then the soul steps inside. The soul is the only entity that's providing the life force for this child or for any other human being. So the soul is there as the form of life support. So that'd be the first thing. The soul is watching this person from a distance, and they're entrusting. When we're coming here, we're not coming here for a picnic. We're not coming here to work Monday to Friday, or even if we strike it up big here, we're coming for something bigger here. It's to clean up the emotions. Now, when I mentioned that we're soulless, we lose that disattachment. And most of it's coming in from the younger experiences, from family, culture, and religion. If someone's coming in a war-torn country, if someone's going to come in a wealthy country, or somebody's born in the destitute streets or experiencing poverty, the soul has it all. It's well chosen. When I'm mentioning that the soul, the person is soulless, it's because we're disconnected mostly from humanity, because I'm going to say it openly, it's intentionally set up like that. And most people, when they start going to school, or we eat the food, or the programming, or whatever we're experiencing, people start getting disconnected from the spiritual side of things. Now, that's a hot topic on its own. When most of the kids, when they're coming here to say, hey, mom, hey, dad, whatever you're doing, it's not working. Whatever you're doing, it sucks. You need to do something else. Now, imagine if the kids, if they spoke up and they spoke up in an honest way and they expressed, hey, mom, I can see you do something better like this. Or, hey, dad, why don't you do it this way instead? Now, imagine if you're going up with an experience where one's miserable, one has to drink, one's unhappy. The moment that inner child's hit with that experience, it shuts them off, or it can emotionally shut them down. And the moment when that emotion is shut down, this is where they start losing that trust with their spiritual side. Mm. And once that disconnection happens, then they want conforming to whatever the family is dictating. When the children come here, when they're birthed here, especially right now in this 5D consciousness, I really, really trust that they're going to be able to continue that type of evolution and getting out from the 3D reality. This is the first time this is happening right now. So when that experience happens at a younger age, when we talk about with certain kids, when they're gifted or they can sense things or they can see things, or kids are talking to, like mom and dad will come into the bedroom and the child's talking to someone. And mom and dad will be asking them, well, what do you see, Johnny? What do you see, Susan? And they say, well, grandma's here, or this is here. And they're kind of looking, they're scratching their heads, and they have no idea what's going on.
Mm-hmm. When my son was just learning to speak, so around 2, I guess, I can't remember exactly, he told me about being born. He had memories of it. It was amazing. Yeah. It was the kind of thing that clearly not the kind of detail that I would have given to a child. but he was telling me things, and you know, I find that really interesting. It's I feel like he does have some type of a deeper connection than most, I think, because of that. I don't know how much of that he's chosen to continue to develop. He doesn't talk about it. But that was something that always sort of stuck with me and I've been curious about.
Yeah. I'd like to add to that. On this planet as well, we have a thing called free will. And no one can intervene with that person's free will. So if a person believes in it or if they do not believe in it, no one is allowed to intervene with that or contradict it. Mm-hmm. So even if the healing is provided and if the person declines it, that's as far as it goes.
Right. So when you were talking about souls being disconnected through different experiences and whatnot, can they become reconnected through the work?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely, yeah. This is the big thing here. This is part of this new... My intention is to awaken 5,000 master numbers. And it can be done. and there is work involved with this. So it can be done. It's what we're doing here is to going back. So to give you the short answer of it, that's yes. It's to go back in from childhood as young as possible. It's now to cut the cords, and now we can etherically unplug them. You need to have somebody that can show you how to do this and being in a safe space with it. It's to unplug all the cords and being free from it and then living your life, being happy, joyful, or fulfilled. And it's not like, look, I have a client right now. She's in her 70s and she's pushing with it.
Beautiful.
So yeah.
I have another question. I don't know what you mean by 5D. Can you explain that?
Yeah. We live, or humanity's been living in this 3D reality for a long, long time. When I shared with you earlier, when I had my experience where I was in this physical body, and when I went through that, if you want to call it a tunnel of light, with some other things with it, I went into another dimension. And what do you call another dimension or another frequency? And when I went there, I'm kind of like, what on earth is this? Then it became, as I started going into the school of life, if you want to call them ghosts, apparitions, entities, and stuff like that, they're in the fourth dimension. These are all, they're spiritual, but there's positive and negative types. The 5D, the universe lives in this 5D energy, and this is where your spiritual guides reside. It's in a higher frequency. It's in a higher vibration. The 3D model was designed for the mind, was designed for the intellect. This new, we left the male energy from the last up to the year 2000. This new consciousness until the year 2999, we're in this feminine energy and with the feminine consciousness, and it's for the women and for the men, it's to awaken the heart. So it's to speak from the heart, feeling from the heart, and letting this go. And so it's a completely different way of operating on all levels. And what I'm doing here is to facilitate and be the guidance to help, just not help, but to assist people from transitioning from the 3D and merging back into the 5D. Fabulous. The 5D is to be back inside. You want to call them like heaven or the kingdom of heaven? It literally is, what is it on the inside? It's not, if a person's looking on the outside trying to find this paradise or thinking that being in a million or $1 billion home is the answer, it's not it. You'll definitely live a better life physically, but the soul's asking when we're here, it doesn't matter if we're driving a Porsche or we're driving something cheaper. All it cares of, while we're here, can we complete the mission? Can we complete whatever was agreed upon from the other side?
Ooh. Very exciting. I'm now you've got me wanting to learn a lot more.
So there's many levels to this. I've been blessed that I have a second goal with it in this lifetime. And where it goes from here, I have no idea.
Well, I am very glad that you came on my show so that you could just bring this awareness to more people, and especially to me.
Thank you, Jessica.
So where can people find you? How could they learn more about the work that you do and get their numerological blueprint done, maybe?
Yeah, certainly. So as I was mentioning there, I just launched the website yesterday, emotionalsoulhealing.com. And I am offering a promo or a promotion right now. Normally the chart consultation or the soul blueprints at $250. What I'm offering right now until June 15th, the chart's at $100. It's for a 1-hour recorded session with it, including a guided meditation or a guided healing meditation. And then with that, two other sessions to release specific or certain feelings or emotions. And that's what I'm offering right now. So again, through emotionalsoulhealing.com, or you can find me on Facebook, to do Alignable, and LinkedIn. I have my profiles there, and you can connect from there.
Wonderful. I think I'm gonna have to take you up on my blueprint. I would be very interested in doing that with you. So fabulous. Okay, awesome. So I have one more question I ask all my guests.
Yeah.
So if you could give somebody who's ready to take their business to the next level one piece of advice, what would you suggest?
This is going to be my recommendation. I mean, I'm learning this. I'm 44 right now. And the first thing that comes to my mind, if somebody has a business, the business becomes a reflection of the person. So before I look at the business, I need to go down to the bottom or to the basement of things. And I need to start off with, who is the business? Who's the person that's running the business? And then from there, going through their chart, going through their blueprint, identifying things, ideally is to address with whatever's going on there. When the person finishes, they're solid in themselves, then they can amplify that energy or extend it out towards the business. The way I see it is, if they're happy with the business, if they want to expand with it or grow with it, I would recommend, what is it on the inside of the person that needs to get addressed? Once it's addressed inside of the person, once the energy is released, it's going to reflect back into the business.
That makes a lot of sense. Yeah, limiting beliefs, all those roadblocks that we have, you know, they show up and they're going to just keep us stuck, right?
They do. So, yeah. And it's not like it's an intentional thing. I want to make this very, very clear here. I genuinely believe that there's a lot of good people out there. I really, really believe this. And it's unfortunate some people, when they get stuck with something, and I have a big heart for those that are massively driven, super hungry, and against all odds going all out in life, and they wind up hitting like a roadblock, or something happens in their life, or they lose someone that's close to them. It's for them just to be able to release that energy, clear it out energetically, and then allowing them to then say, hey, continue, keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah, that's wonderful. I agree with you. I love people that are really driven and really willing to do the work that's required personally and professionally. So awesome. Well, Stefan, I'm kind of at a loss for words because I feel like you have given me so much to think about that I would love maybe like a recommendation, like where would you point somebody who just heard this podcast and would like to just learn a little bit more? Is there a specific book, a website, probably your website, but just to do a bit of more learning about this.
When I got introduced to this, one of the first books that I got introduced to was The Power of Your Subconscious Mind. Part of Your Subconscious Mind by Dr. Joseph Murray.
Okay.
One book right there. I would highly, highly, highly recommend it. And the reason why I'm recommending it is, if you're going into a game or if you're going into a career, you need to be aware of the rules of the game. If you have no fundamentals or if you have no blueprint for the foundation with it, if you have no awareness of what's going on, it's going to take you out of the game. So that's the first one. There's another one from Dr. David Hawkins, Power versus Force. Highly, highly recommended. And the third book is The Blueprint of Your Soul by Joseph Gobbi. And if somebody wants to read any of those three books or any combination of them, and me personally, I would recommend, if somebody's really in doubt, send an intention to the universe saying, I need some help here. And if a person is authentic, if they're really sincere, if their intention is pure, write a letter to the universe saying, hey, I need some help with this. I need some guidance here. Show me a way.
I like that. I like that a lot. So awesome. Thank you so much. I'm excited. I just wrote those three books down. So I am definitely going to add them to my library. I hope at least one of them is on audiobook, because that's my favorite way to listen. So
definitely, definitely, definitely the first one and part of the second one. Yes.
Okay, cool. Awesome. Oh, thank you so much. This was an absolute pleasure. Yeah, I really I'm really interested, so I'm definitely going to do some more studying, and then you and I can. I would love to be able to have another conversation with you about this, because I'm like, now you got me. Like, now I'm hooked.
Awesome. Awesome,
I need
Jessica.
to get through the first level, and then I'm coming back for you.
Sounds good.
Awesome. Okay, well, thanks again for coming on. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you.
And that's another episode of Ignited Entrepreneurs.